there's nothing like the Old Testament to remind us that there is nothing new under the sun. Hi there, and welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who will return us once again to Haggai, chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. It's a message that Pastor Chris has simply entitled, "The Kingdom That Cannot Be Shaken." As we focus in on today's program, we are reminded by God, through Haggai, that you just can't sit on your laurels. You just can't look at something and say, well, it's good enough and we'll go on, I've got other priorities. God requires us, as His children, to make Him the priority. With that, the question remains, are we zealous enough for the Lord, or are we willing to sit it out? With more, here's Pastor Chris with today's program.
What seems to them as the wrong way, the discouragements, the real tears, the pain of having something good in the past and all of it lost, and that's real, I understand that. That God would make this temple exceed in glory. You would look at it and you'd say, how in the world is He going to do that? How is He going to do that? Not in what I'm looking at. Not in what I'm seeing happen. So He sends Haggai the prophet to challenge and encourage them to see where the glory of the new temple would be found. And that's verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you. I love that. That is so beautiful. I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. You know, at that moment, I don't know if there could have been more helpful and encouraging words and comforting words that the Lord could have given. Be encouraged. Be strengthened in the work. I'm with you. That had a loaded history. Some of the key furnishings of the temple are not there. Things are not, don't seem to be right. The ark that symbolized God's presence. And He just says to them something shocking. I'm with you. Where's the ark? I'm with you. How many times had He said this throughout history to Israel? Right before Moses died. Greatest discouragement to them. Upon entering the land, here are the Lord's words. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified of your enemies, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord said the same to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wheresoever you go. When David charged Solomon to build the temple, he said, be strong and courageous and do the work, which is a direct play on this. And now in light of this terrible sin that has happened of discouragement, he says, be strong, I am with you. I made a promise that I always would be. You remember Moses wrestled with God, whether God would go with them in the wilderness. And when that was stated, the Lord said, I will be with you. Imagine hearing the words and now realizing that the dawn of something new was coming, foreshadowing that God would be present with His people through His Spirit. Did you see that? The Spirit is all of a sudden introduced here. The Holy Spirit. That something so glorious was happening that it would pale, that what was in the past would pale in comparison to what the Lord is now doing. But you'd never look at it immediately and see that. You'd never. The external was being diminished to prepare the way for the spiritual kingdom of living stones. With the coming of Jesus, it always seems that what we're doing is not working at the moment. You understand that? Anything that immediately happens so fast, so quick, will go away so fast and so quick. Look at the history of that in the church. We might always have answers as to what there needs to be. I always think, what did the disciples How pressed were the disciples when they're looking at the ministry of the king? And he's walking among them, and he's preaching. Jesus is preaching the kingdom, and people are getting so offended by him that they're walking away in John 6 in droves. You don't think the disciples stopped and said, "What are we really a part of? This is not working. This is not working. Doesn't make any sense. We're losing. Be strong, for I'm with you." It may not seem that the Lord is present with us. All of history, though, has told us something about his presence and his wisdom that differs in every way from what we think and how we think it should go. His glory was veiled by the rags of our human nature, wasn't it? In a body that was prepared that showed no outward glory, nobody looked and said, "There is our Messiah." It was concealed and veiled as he hung on a cross to win the victory. Hard to be reformed today, isn't it? It's hard to be reformed today. And because of that, many of those who have these convictions are even there on a downgrade because it's the last thing we think will work. You hear what the Lord's saying? Look at verse 6. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, so that the treasure," the old translations say, "the desire of the nations," they will come in to the desire of the nations. "And I'll fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver's mine." You're looking at silver. "The gold is mine." You're looking at gold. "The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace."
Well, Pastor Chris has more here in Haggai chapter 2. And we'll be back with that in just a moment. But Pastor Chris has an exciting announcement in regards to an up-and-coming conference. Chris?
The title is, "If the Foundations Are Destroyed." And that's kind of based in Psalm 11. We'll be encouraged to stand firm in unsteady times, taking refuge in the Lord as the indestructible foundation of our hope. So this is a good conference because it's wrestling through the, really, we live in really uncertain times. And just seems like foundations are being broken up. And the talks here will be a wonderful help to those who come on this particular issue. Derek Thomas will be delivering one titled, "The Lord is Our Refuge." Dr. Godfrey will be speaking on "When the Foundations Are Destroyed." So we want to encourage you, if you'd like to come to the conference, again, that's May 13 and 14, sign up at www.agradio.org. And there is a banner there that's posted on the website, link you right to Ligonier Ministries to sign up for the conference. So do please make use of that on our website at agradio.org.
Well, we are excited to be hosts to this conference coming up, and we'll continue to let you know as the time draws near. For now, let's get back into Haggai once again. Here's Pastor Chris.
"For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, so that the treasure," the old translations say, "the desire of the nations," they will come in to the desire of the nations. "And I'll fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver's mine." You're looking at silver. "The gold is mine." You're looking at gold. "The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace." Wow. What the Lord is describing is the complete overthrow through the building of this kingdom and this temple. The complete overthrow of all the kingdoms of the earth. All the worldly kingdoms and their kings will be brought to the desire of the nations. If you were to study the history that followed 515 BC when the temple was completed, we see immediate fulfillment in that of this, that Persia would soon fall before Greece, and Alexander the Great would arise and soon fall, and his four dynasties would fall before each other, and then would come Rome. And yet this shaking of the nations would pave the way for something so great like never before, that Alexander's Greek would influence and spread the Greek language across Europe to make way for the word of a king. And that Rome, through the Pax Romana, would create the most elaborate road system so that the gospel would go out to the ends of the earth. Nations were shaken for the purpose that they would come and fill this latter temple with glory. The desire of the nations, as it says in the ESV, the treasure of all the nations, the treasures of all the nations, would be when all the peoples from every part of the earth would be brought into this kingdom, into this temple. Who is this? What are we talking about? What you're in. You've entered it. You see how wrong it is to want to go talk about rebuilding the Jerusalem temple at this point. The whole New Testament has told you that temple is his body. Destroy this temple and I'll raise it in 3 days. I'm talking about my body. Jesus was talking about himself, his kingdom, his righteousness. That he's going to bring the nations to him. They're coming under his feet. And this temple would be built up with living stones, a multitude so great no man could number, from all the kingdoms of the earth. He would plunder a temple whose glory far excels. Stop looking at gold. For we no longer worship God on this mountain or in that mountain, said Jesus. We're not doing that anymore. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he enters and is born again in Zion there. Psalm 87. Haggai finishes his oracle by saying, in this place I will give peace. Haven't you enjoyed it today? Didn't you hear a whole message from your king on peace? I want to close tonight with Hebrews 12 that picks up on Haggai. Listen to this. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more will we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice shook the earth, but now is promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only earth but also heaven. Did you see verse 7 of chapter 2? And I will shake all the nations so that all the treasures of the nations shall come in. Hebrews is picking up on this. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Consider the project you're a part of. The time of fulfillment has come. The kingdoms of the earth are being shaken and being removed right now to make way. What kingdom has stood? What kingdom has stood? Only one. Now I go back. The people had no idea that what they were a part of and their building project of the temple in faith was paving the way for something far glorious than what Solomon had built. Did they see it? Did they see it? The outward circumstances seem so different. So bad, so bad, so bad. Do you see it? Look around you. Look at people brought in. It seemed that God was not working, and yet they were participating in anticipation already of a greater and glorious temple and a kingdom that could never, ever, ever be shaken. That's what you're a part of. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord says, I am with you wherever you go. I'm with you in the Escondido URC. This is my project, says the Lord. Be together in it, generations. Be together in it, generations. Listen to each other. Talk to each other. Love each other. Don't be separate. That's how we go stagnant. join in the project in love and harmony and in peace, for that's what he wants from us. Don't be discouraged through it when it seems that nothing is happening. Continue in the calling that he's given us to build, and I'm not talking about that. That serves the purpose of the true building project of souls and people. Build while it's still called today, said Jesus, for the night is coming when no man may work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for encouraging us with this glorious text. Thank you for helping us from the Old Testament to see your plan unfold throughout history and to realize what we are a part of. Let us be a people united together in the project, letting your word guide us in all truth, and realizing that your hand is with us and that you have promised that you will continue to build and that the gates of hell will not prevail. Thank you, Father, for giving us a place to serve in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we have concluded our time together today just a few minutes early. Pastor Chris will join us once again here in just a moment with a final thought about our program today. In the meantime, to reach out to us, you can do so on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. You can ask questions of us there. You can send along prayer requests, learn a bit more about us, listen to past programs, and use the links to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to get to some of the other places where you can find us on the internet. Again, that's agradio.org. Our phone number is 888-504-8805. Well, as mentioned, we closed out our time together today, Chris, just a few minutes early, because at the end of the day, what we're looking at here in Haggai is a priority that's been warped, if you will. When it comes to worship, when it comes to God's house, we've made it about us instead of God, haven't we?
Well, that's a great question. When you look at the principles of Scripture, one of the great principles that undergirds all worship is that God is to be regarded as holy. That's Leviticus 10. Before those who come near to me and draw near to me, I must be regarded as holy. And that's something that the New Testament picks up when it says in the book of Hebrews that we should worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire. So it depends on how we're, first off, what are our motivations and how are we coming before the Lord? Is this just based on our terms, or has God laid down the terms of what we need and what sinners need to receive for there to be true worship? And that's where we would say that there are explicit commands in the Bible for how God is to be worshiped. And that is, that worship is sort of formed based on the Word of God. In other words, perfect example is that in historic sort of Protestant liturgies, you had, by the way, liturgy is treated as a bad word today. And liturgy just means, what you do in worship. Every church has a liturgy. If you look in your bulletin, it'll say, that's what you're doing. That's your liturgy. Some are higher liturgy. Some are, because they're lower liturgy, but everyone has a liturgy. So point is that on each side of the liturgy, you have historically the conviction that there's a dialogue going on. So if you drew a chart, you have God on one side, man on the other side in parallel. You begin worship with a call to worship that are found all throughout the Scriptures. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, sheep of his hand. That's a psalm. So there's those specific calls given and blessings. And then you have responses on our side of singing praise to that wonderful call. And then you have throughout, and if you look at even the Old Testament, when God's people gathered, they listened to his law and they confessed his sins. And then they received from him assurance of forgiveness. And then the people responded with thanksgiving and prayer and song and giving of an offering. And then you have the word proclaimed and displayed in the sacraments. And then you have a song. And then we send people out with a benediction, a blessing, not just, hey, you're dismissed. But I think today, in contrast, what you often get is, because that's not appreciated, a dialogical principle, what you typically have are people coming together, and it's pretty man-centered. I mean, we just have to say it, kind of for what it is. It's 20 to 30 minutes on the band. You know, it's not much different from worldly music. You know, you got video time of the
mini concert.
Yeah, mini concert. You got video time of the men's retreat or something. And then, you know, you have maybe a video of an impoverished nation, you know, where they're showing these to motivate people to give to that. And then you've got, you know, another video, and then the pastor comes forward. And, you know, the big question is, will the word be actually exposited? You know, kind of, you know, chapter by chapter, will they go through a book, or will it be topical time of the pastor imposing his ideas on the text to use the text like a fortune cookie, you know, for people's personal happiness and these sort of things. Then you got, you know, another 10 minutes on the band, and then you're dismissed. So I think you can see there's two different things going on there. One is very man-centered and the other is very God-centered, and ours are responses to what God has done for us in his word, his living, powerful word.
There are a lot of churches who tend to go at it in what you would probably consider a free flow. Hey, brother, it's just the Spirit moving. And there's this notion that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth, and that verse is actually used. And so it gives you freedom and license to do whatever you want because it's the Spirit moving. How do you rightly interpret that passage and bring back this idea of worship that you're talking about?
Well, I think that's a really good question. We wouldn't just do that anywhere. I always say we treat the church so loosely, but, you know, I was a basketball player, college basketball player. Can you imagine somebody saying, hey, you know, I don't know anything about the game of basketball, and I don't consider that there are any rules to the game. You know, I'm going to come in and I'm going to play the game on my terms. And don't you tell me, you know, hey, it's about how I feel when I play the game. I mean, you know, you quickly escort the guy off the court, you know. Why do we do that with the worship of God when God tells us he's a God of order and loves order and not chaos? So, you know, this idea that it's just a free-for-all by the Spirit is sometimes an idea that means the Spirit sort of works extemporaneously and apart from the Word, and is doing things apart from the Word with however we feel moved. But what if you know, I'm feeling moved in ways that are not right according to the Word, right? You know, so the point is that the Spirit never works apart from the Word. And if God's a God of order, then our worship and what we do has to reflect that. And I mean, just look throughout the things that happened in the Old Testament and the New Testament about how God regarded his worship. Colossians, he mentioned self-imposed worship. So if you could do self-imposed worship, wouldn't that be a legitimate concern when I use the name, you know, it's a free-for-all when I'm led by the Spirit? What if it's self-imposed? In other words, there has to be some kind of objective standard that guides what we do and why we do it. And anytime you find people, you know, what was the great complaint throughout Israel's history? Everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. That leads to chaos. And how do I, you know, if you have that sort of standard, how am I going to tell you that you're ever wrong or I'm wrong if it's all about how I feel in the moment? Feelings can be wrong, can't they? So we have to look again to the Word of God and say, what does God desire from us? And what does his Word prescribe for us in worship that we might do that in a way that honors him and glorifies him? And I would say, Andy, that that's true freedom. That's not shackles. That's not hindering. Right. It's just like anything. Whatever sort, you know, counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, when we walk in the law of perfect liberty, we walk in the law of God, people view that in the world as constrictive, but we know as Christians that is a very freeing place to live.
And as we have spent time here in Haggai chapter 2 today, it's our hope and prayer that you come away with a clear understanding of what worship is all about, what God is calling us to, the priorities we are to have when it comes to serving and worshiping our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, if you would like to reach out to us, you can visit our website, agradio.org, or give us a call at 888-504-8805. questions at agradio if you have comments, questions, or prayer requests. And again, that email address is questions@agradio.org. However you desire to reach out to us, please remember we are listener-supported, and we come to you daily on this station, in part through your financial and prayerful support. Thank you for being a part of this ministry, and we trust you're growing because of it. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.